Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska Legislature ended its session yesterday after agreeing on a state budget. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the spending plan lines out $5.4 billion for operating expenditures legislators focus on. That's over $400 million more than the current budget. Most of the increase is for a boost to the permanent fund dividend check, which would be $1,600 this fall. The budget includes a first-ever draw from Alaska permanent fund earnings to pay for government services, a move Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman calls an important step.
I believe that it's historic that we are using what many refer to as the rainy day account for the first time.
The budget also includes a nearly $1 billion transfer from permanent fund earnings to the fund's principal to keep up with inflation. The legislature also passed the capital budget, which includes another $26 million for public schools, $20 million for the Port of Anchorage, funds for an enhanced statewide 911 system, and money to cover most of a shortfall in Medicaid funding. Nome Democratic Representative Neil Foster says lawmakers made concessions to reach the agreement.
I realize that we may not get everyone's vote for this budget, but we've been able to get enough support to get it this far. The capital budget is the product of compromise, and it's the result of folks who want the best for the state.
Governor Bill Walker held an early Sunday morning press conference after lawmakers adjourned. He says the permanent fund draw represents progress.
It gives predictability. It protects the dividend going forward. It protects the permanent fund. And it closed 80% of the fiscal gap. We went from a $3.7 billion hole to a $700 million hole. Boy, that's a significant step. Is it done? No, it's not.
The remaining budget gap would be covered with a draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. The size of the gap and draw depend on the price of oil. Other major bills approved before adjournment include a bond sale to pay off oil and gas tax credits, a ban on smoking in workplaces, and an overhaul of the state's workers' compensation system. An ethics bill prohibits lawmakers from raising money from foreign donors and prevents them from collecting per diems if they don't pass a budget by the 121st day of the legislative session. The bills now await Governor Walker's signature. State fishery managers are cautiously optimistic about this summer's Yukon River king salmon return. Another indication that the run is continuing to recover, state biologist Holly Carroll says the 2018 return is forecast to come in somewhere between 173,000 and 251,000 fish.
That is a below average run from a long-term perspective, but like last year, it could provide enough fish for pretty good, almost normal subsistence fishing.
263,000 kings were counted entering the Yukon River last summer, well above the preseason forecast. Carroll says forecasting is improving as biologists better use genetics to identify and assess the Yukon River system's various king stocks.
We now know that the Canadian origin run makes up, on average, about 41% of the run, which means that nearly 60% of the run are the Alaskan stocks. And using that information gives us possibly a more accurate drainage-wide estimate.
Carroll notes that another preseason king forecast based on Yukon River salmon in the Bering Sea is even more optimistic.
Forecasting a slightly larger run than what we've officially put out. And so that just gives us hope that we should see the run come in at the upper end of our forecast.
Forecasts aside, Carroll stresses that fishery managers' general strategy will remain conservative, but the plan is to swap previous year's short-notice openings in favor of a more regular but initially limited fishing schedule.
People can expect to be fishing about half as much time as would be allowed by regulation. And then as we gain confidence in the run size, we may be able to open up to full regulatory window schedule, but that may be later in the season.
Carroll notes that if the king run comes in strong, commercial summer chum fishermen may be allowed to keep or even sell bycatch kings. The first Chinook are expected to cross the Yukon River Delta mid-May, with the first big pulse expected a month later. Firefighters have mopped up a wildfire that scorched 250 acres in the Delta Junction area Friday afternoon. Alaska Division of Forestry spokesman Tim Mowry says winds gusting to 50 miles per hour push flames from trees to farm fields.
Got into a grassy field and spread pretty quickly with the wind.
Mowry says the fire moved back to forests near a residential area off Tanana Loop Extension, northeast of Delta.
Tanana Loop Extension, there's quite a few people that live on that road. There were some structures immediately threatened.
Residents of the area were on alert in case evacuation was called for, but Mowry says that wasn't necessary as firefighters with the state, BLM, and Deltona Fire Department worked on the ground, and an air tanker from Palmer dropped at least 2 loads of retardant. A bulldozer was used to break up windrows and berms that caught fire while about 80 personnel searched for hot spots and mopped up the perimeter of the fire Saturday. Mowry says the fire, which was fully contained by Saturday night, was the first significant incident of the season.
We've had a lot of, debris burns that have escaped, but nothing to this extent where we've got an air tanker and got crews and things like that.
Investigators are looking into the cause of the fire. State and local crews responded to another wildfire in Delta yesterday. That fire destroyed a small outbuilding, but was put out at less than an acre. I'm Dan Bross.